episode of the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 31, and I'm your host, DJ Chuang. And here at the Social Media Church Podcast, we have a broader definition for the word church. I know it's been a lively conversation in recent years about the definition of church. And when you think of church as the people of God, those who are following Christ, if you would say it as the universal church, or even from the Apostles' Creed, it's called the Catholic Church, all those who believe and follow Jesus Christ and profess faith in Him, rather than a more stricter term that might be applied to church, whether it's the local church or the institutional church. Sometimes the phrase church leader implies those who are vocationally employed as a staff of an organized church. But we have a broader definition of church here at the Social Media Church because God is working inside of institutions and organizations as well as outside in groups that might be gathered as missional communities or house churches, and even parachurch organizations. And today my conversation will be with someone from a parachurch ministry that works actively at colleges and universities here in the United States, Canada, and around the world. Here in the U.S. of A., that ministry is called InterVarsity, and around the world it's called IFES, which stands for International Fellowship of Evangelical Students. And one of the big events that they put together every 3 years since the 40s is called Urbana. It's a missions conference for college students, and young adults are welcome. And this year, 16,000 plus students and participants gathered in St. Louis for 5 days between Christmas and New Year's, and I was there on the ground as well. And we had an incredible time of hearing from God and hearing from each other about what God was doing, what the needs of the world are, and how we can be a part of that, whether as a long-term missionary or doing short-term projects or supporting them or sending missionaries abroad or being missionals right here where we live. And that's one of the amazing things that InterVarsity does every 3 years. And this year at Urbana, known as Urbana 12, Adam Jeske, the director of new media, put together a social media squad to really facilitate the social media engagement of participants during the conference. And I was part of that social media squad along with 13 others, so a team of 14 of us divvied up our roles and responsibility and had multiple shifts, and you'll hear the whole backstory of how that was put together, how that went, and how that really helped engage the participants coming to the conference and engaging at the conference. And I would describe it as this team really came together to pastor the participants during the conference. And it was a very engaging time, primarily through Twitter, but there was also some engagement on Instagram and Facebook as well. And certainly there was a live stream where tens of thousands of viewers watched from around the world to just hear the voice of God and what God is doing around the world and how we can be a part of it. I want you to hear my conversation with Adam Jeske first and then add some of my reflections as I experienced Urbana myself as part of the social media squad as well as being a participant during that conference. Here's my conversation with Adam. DJ Chuang here, and today I am talking with Adam Jeske, who is the czar that we affectionately called of the social media squad for the Urbana 12 Mission Conference at InterVarsity, along with a couple of other Bible fellowship hosted in St. Louis during Christmas week between Christmas and New Year's for 5 full days. And this was a new venture for Urbana and InterVarsity to have live real-time engagement through social media with around 16,000 attendees or participants, as they would call it, at this conference. And it just opened up a whole nother level of engagement. And what really impressed me was how the social media squad, the team of people,
pastored the attendees throughout the course of the conference. And they just also opened up another channel for getting feedback, Q&A, interaction, and reports and stories. So I wanted to have you, our listeners here at Social Media Church, to hear firsthand about this whole experience. So Adam, Jesse, thank you so much for making some time to chat with us and to tell us the backstory of how all this came about.
Sure thing, DJ. It's great to be on here.
So what inspired you to put together this social media squad? I love the name, and thank you for inviting me to be part of this squad. So what did you put together to begin with, and how did you ramp it up?
Yeah, so I launched InterVarsity's social media streams 2.5 years ago, and then the Urbana streams got started about a year or so before the conference, maybe a year and a half. And we have been learning as we go, and we're fine with growing audience slowly, wanting to serve them really well with top shelf content and honoring the Lord with what we do, how we do it. And that doesn't necessarily mean grabbing followers. And so there's some best practices that we just ignore because it's not consistent with who we are and how we want to operate. And that's resulted in a very highly invested audience of folks, but probably smaller than most organizations of our size, although it continues growing, and Urbana was a big bump for us on both the InterVarsity accounts and the Urbana accounts. And then as I looked ahead to the conference, I took over the day-to-day management of those accounts with somebody from my team, and I started to sort of sketch out, so how are we going to do this on site? And I started thinking through the different streams and counted up the number of hours in a day of programming, plus a little bit of extra when the participants would be awake, as you know, a lot of college students and recent grads, and came up with, wow, we need a pretty large team to cover the waterfront, so to speak. So we ended up having about 14 people on site to manage all the streams, and I started, you know, calling them the social squad in my own head, and then that actually became a moniker that we all embraced and kind of ran with as our team identity for the week, and even there's been some ongoing conversation amongst us since the conference.
Yeah, so it takes 14 people to run social media for this conference.
Yeah, it was.
And the old light bulb joke, how many people does it take to turn on a light bulb?
Yeah, well, if you do social media right, of course, it's not primarily broadcasting. I could have sat on my laptop and pushed out content at a speed that would have sufficed for the conference to cover the waterfront. It would have been long days, but I could have done that. But we wanted to actually interact with folks. And so to interact with people, suddenly that's a whole different pace because that's dealing one-to-one instead of one to, you know, thousands. And so we really needed a team of that size to do what we wanted to do at the level that we wanted to do it, to listen well, to interact well, to answer questions, to give encouragement, to, like you said, be pastoral in our presence on the social streams, not just to be broadcasting quotes or even logistical information for folks on site. So, yeah, it actually kind of used up the capacity of that team.
Yeah, well, let me walk our listeners through some of the things that I saw, and then you can fill in with a bigger context of everything that happened behind the scenes as well.
Sure.
So leading up to the conference, there was a little bit of conference promotion, just encouraging people to go, and we try to share some stories. And one of the things I found, I connect a lot with church leaders, and I found that engaging with college students through social media was rather different. They don't use social media the way the typical pastor might use social media or an organized church, and that's okay. Everybody does use social media differently. Mm-hmm. And I began to notice social media engagement happened around Urbana 12, kind of the week leading up to that. There was mm-hmm. a invitation to start those conversations, build the anticipation, and welcome people along the way so that there was that hospitality element. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I started noticing a lot of engagement. You want to follow people back. You want mm-hmm. to say, hey, if you have any questions, we're here to help you. So what did you set up to engage people through social media? What channels did you use actively so that you didn't disperse all your energies?
Yeah, so we didn't have a lot of labor going into the conference because this is just one part of my normal role at InterVarsity as well as the the national social media stuff that we do. I lead an editorial team of writers, and I was serving on the Urbana leadership team, the 10 people who are kind of serving the executive functions for the conference and making the big strategic decisions. And so there was a lot of other work, not just the social media stuff for me. So I had one person on my team full-time going into the conference, and then we picked up somebody else from the Urbana team who could dedicate quite a bit of time, maybe 10 or 15 hours a week going toward the conference. But it wasn't until actually the day before the conference started, so December 26th, that we really picked up a bunch of people. And they needed orientation, and there was other, you know, they were flying in on that day. So it was really the morning of the conference that, okay, we're assembled. We have, you know, people on the streams to really support. And at that point, I was up really early, which is normal for me, and I was trying to welcome people into the conference. You know, hey, look, it's great that you're on your way, because, you know, people start talking about, oh, I'm at the airport. It's so early. I can't believe this. Or our bus is on the road. We're coming from L.A. We've already been, you know, driving for 24 hours, another 12, and we're going to arrive. Can't wait. So excited. And so I got on there and started interacting with folks, trying to be the welcome wagon for the first couple hours of the early morning. And so I went through that and just pushed out a whole bunch of, you know, welcome, we're so excited to have you, we've been praying for you, and, you know, use this hashtag. We had switched our hashtag as of the 26th or so from #Urbana12 to #U12 to have something shorter and, you know, more likely to be of use to the crowd as it took up less characters. And, yeah, that was sort of our hospitality effort that began a little bit on the 26th, the day before the conference, as people were starting far in advance to travel if they were driving a long ways, and then really in earnest the day of the conference as people were flying in from across the country, as long bus trips were being finished up, and as, you know, people drove, you know, 6-8 hours in on the same day. And we just really wanted to be a voice of, hey, we are here and we're accessible and we're a conference that cares about you as individuals. If there's anything that we can do to help you, here we are. And so we let people know that, and it seems like it was appreciated.
Yeah, and that personal voice was so engaging, I thought, and to see the conversations go back and forth. And it looked like you had really strong buy-in and support from the entire conference. So just to give people a scale of what's happening here, 16,000 attendees, almost 900 volunteers and staff to run this conference, to serve this audience. Mm-hmm. And everywhere in print and on posters, you know, the conference notebook, the posters, the signs, had the hashtag U12. Mm-hmm. And so it became a very centralized, prominent place for people to connect with each other and to engage in conversation and process out loud with the group.
Right.
So I thought that was done marvelously. Was that intentional?
Yeah. Thanks for that compliment, DJ. It was, and I think that it's rare to see something go from basically nothing at 09. We did do some aggregation and curation on screen before main sessions, but we didn't really have any corporate presence on any of the social streams as a conference or even as InterVarsity at that point. And so to go from that level of very, very little to a pretty strong, you know, performance this time is, you know, a nod to the leadership that I report to and the leadership of the conference, sort of hearing the case that I made for what we could do and how we could do it, and then saying, yeah, let's go for it. Like, Adam, let's see what you can do. And and it's also a testament to having proper communications representation, and maybe in particular social media or new media representation in leadership circles, because the way the communication landscape changes how we promote a conference, the participant experience on site, you really want to integrate that at a fairly high level, because there's all kinds of ideas that the program team has that as the social media squad we were able to back up and support because I was on the leadership team for the whole conference. So I think that we kind of came out of nowhere by virtue of that, and I would highly recommend anybody who's doing large event planning to get your social folks really in the mix. And to the people listening to the podcast who are, you know, their social squad or leading a social squad for an event, to really press in that direction and say there's all kinds of gains that you will miss out on if you are updating us periodically and we're not really in the mix from the get-go. Because we'll open up things that you don't even understand how they could benefit the conference and the participant experience.
Yeah, and it was also a fun thing to see other hashtags get introduced for various tags, various tracks and workshops and speakers, and even the announcements. You actually introduced quite a bit of humor and engagement that way. How Greg started getting into it.
Yeah, our MC, Greg Howe, is a really smart, like theologically grounded, funny guy. And so he does announcements amazingly smoothly, but they went to a different level where the stuff that was on screen had him and then overlaid with a little band at the bottom that he was able to click through and put up hashtags that were, you know, kind of embedded jokes that were visual to keep the crowd really engaged with what he was saying, as well as sort of this other, you know, stream alongside his verbal announcements that was kind of comedic commentary on what he was saying, sort of like Stephen Colbert does sometimes, where there's, you know, stuff that text that's overlaid behind him that's really commentary on his commentary. So that was pretty neat that Greg did that. And it showed a good deal. I didn't know he was doing it until he started doing it, but it was a neat way to say, hey, we're on and we're, you know, we're present in the social spaces. In addition to it being on signage and being in the handbook, Greg started using that kind of from the front. And I think that probably got people a lot more involved and active on the social streams. We also had some broadcast of curated tweets before main sessions again this conference, like we did it in 2009. So I think that just showed, hey, we're doing this, and this is what some other people are saying, and you should join in the conversation that's happening, you know, as we go through this event together.
And to coordinate this squad, so once we hit the ground running, so the conference started on the 27th, the social media squad met together on the 26th, which is some quick orientation. I think what you did naturally was to set up the lanes of the primary channels that we're going to engage in, and then set up shifts with specific assignments of a person and a role. And how did you put that together? Because I thought that worked so well. And it, you also reinforced the teamwork aspect, where we kind of watched for each other. So it wasn't like some of the newbies. It was amazing. Some of the newbies that were on Twitter were masters in less than a day.
Yeah. So I've joked that I was talking to some media folks down there who were commenting on what we were doing, and they said, you know, what are you doing? How did you plan this? And I said, it's a little bit of I'm making this up as I go, because who really knows how to do social media for 16,000 people, 250 missions organizations and seminaries on site, 150 seminars and the speakers for those, the platform speakers, you know, a couple thousand volunteers and staff and exhibitor staff. So it's a really complex environment that you want to serve. And so I knew that I needed a fairly sizable team to interact and serve well, but I didn't know exactly what that would look like. So I started sketching things out, and I thought, okay, I'll put somebody on. I'll do four-hour shifts throughout the day, and starting at about 8 a.m. I knew I would be on some before that to get my bearings and see if anything blew up overnight. But then four-hour shifts with somebody on InterVarsity's Twitter, somebody's on Urbana's Twitter, and somebody's on Facebook for both Urbana and InterVarsity pages. And then we kind of last minute added somebody on Instagram for much of the day, and people rotated through these. Some people were on pretty much one platform the whole time. Some people were on all three at different points. And everybody had access to all of them, so if they knew something had to go up, they could just put it up. So it was a pretty flat, open working environment. One thing that was really helpful was the group text platform that you set up, so that if we knew we needed to get something out to the whole social squad at once quickly, we could just text that group and everybody would receive that, and we know that it would be heard. So we used that judiciously, but we did have this back channel that was really helpful. It was fast, and everybody was watching for that sort of communication, so that helped a lot.
Yeah, just to clarify, that we used a app called GroupMe, and I'll add a link to the show note, and it's just a very handy way to connect a small team of people through their cell phones, and you could group text everybody and have a back channel announcement or question immediately response with just this team.
Yeah, that worked great. So major props to you, DJ, for the suggestion and the implementation. implementation on that one. And as far as the, I joked that out of, it's easy to empower people when you have way too much to do, right? There was no way that I could hold on to what we were doing and try to control people or try to like cover them in rules or guidelines. It was sort of like, here's some high level thinking. We want to be pastoral. We want to share provocative content. We want to be a conduit for God's action in people's lives through the content of the conference. We want to support what the program is doing. We want what we put up to be shareable, that it's interesting and people want to do something with it. It causes a reaction. There's action that flows out of it. And we want to interact with people. We want to care for them. We want to answer questions. We want to be super helpful. And we want to be funny. We want to be friendly and you know, somebody that people find witty and they like having around, that we're not annoying people. Because we knew we'd be, you know, pushing out in a tremendous volume. So, yeah, I kind of set the team up with that high-level thinking and general strategy and said, there you go. And that was out of necessity because there wasn't more time to do more, either, you know, more robust training going into it or more robust training as we went through the conference, because it's only 5 days. It's sort of like you set it up, you let it ride. We had brief lunch meetings of the 14 of us, and those were typically like 15 minutes where I just highlighted a couple of program elements. We really want to be pushing, you know, this author is signing books and that's going to be interesting to people, or some of this content that's going to come out of this talk tonight is going to be really important, really powerful. So let's make sure that we're grabbing those quotes and getting those up. Somebody, you know, push out the link to this video because people really responded to that talk yesterday. Now that we have the video posted, let's push that out and let people know it's there. So it was really brief check-ins throughout the conference, and people, yeah, just ran wonderfully with it. I was helped by some experienced people on the team, like you, who have worked at conferences before, who are experienced in social tools. And then there were other people who came at it using social media but not being all that conversant in it. And for them, the strength of having them on the team was that they're InterVarsity staff who are, you know, dedicated to this role for the week. And those people knew the pastoral angle. They knew InterVarsity language. They knew student needs because they've gone through it, typically gone through an Urbana or two as a student. They've gone through a couple of staff. They've walked through the Urbana experience with their students. And so it was a really great blend of skills that could, yeah. And people, I think, were watching one another and gaining skills in their weaker spots while also helping others to see, oh, this is what I'm good at. And so other people were learning from them. It was a really beautiful team, the way the Lord brought it together.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I think one of the other things that you kind of stumbled onto is by having a table where the social media squad was sitting next to each other, they could help each other in real time.
Yeah.
And so there was a collaborative effort. And then the second thing you just kind of said, and I'm just rephrasing, is that you had people who were already part of the InterVarsity staff, InterVarsity culture, so that you didn't have to train people up to represent the organizational voice. They already know right. The organizational voice,
yeah.
So they could fairly represent them and engage people in that way. And one of the unstated values at the InterVarsity, since I'm an outsider to InterVarsity, is you have this culture of fun. And I think you leaned into that through Twitter, and that made it an additional engagement point.
Yeah, that's a high compliment to me. Not too long ago, I wrote a piece that ran in our column on relevantmagazine.com about the biblical basis for fun. And I think that sometimes Christians have a bad rep because we're not celebrating things the way we're supposed to. We're not enjoying life the way God made us to. Not that all of life is about that, but I think that's certainly an important part of how our faith can be lived out and how God attracts people to himself for their own good, for their own redemption.
Yeah, amen. Well, let's wrap up with three things. I'll add a link to the show notes to some of the reflections and highlight that you gave with statistics about how the social media engagement went for Urbana as well. What was a personal highlight for you? What was an organizational win? And what happens next?
Those are great questions. Personal highlight would have to be that all that stuff that I was saying about the team, that I picked some people that had diverse skills that came from different parts of the country, different backgrounds, different perspectives, different skill sets. And that was really used of God to do something good. It was far more than I could have done by myself. It was far better than I could have planned it out myself. And so I count it just God's grace on somebody who's doing the best he can with what he's got personally. And so, yeah, the team coming together was really a personal highlight. And hearing what the team had to say about the experience, that people actually were hanging out in the social media room at the table just on their off hours because they liked each other. They were having fun. They were on social media even, you know, just personally, even when they weren't on some of the corporate streams. So that really spoke a lot to me, and it was really reassuring to me or confirming to me that the way I'd set that team up was a healthy way, was a helpful way, and empowering people to do the job well was definitely the right route to go. And out of it, you know, it's hard to quantify or characterize it exactly since we haven't done it before, but for coming out of the gates and, you know, really being, if anything, sort of a beta test, we had some corporate communication stuff, you know, social media stuff going, but to have, you know, an event of this scale without doing social media before and just trying a bunch of stuff, to have 40,000 tweets on the hashtag, and we had a similar number of user-generated stories on Facebook, I found out this week as we've been continuing to dig into the data. And so on Facebook being, you know, more peer-to-peer, friend-to-friend, known-to-known, that's pretty significant to have that level of sharing, and I'm really happy with the exposure that we had from that, the brand awareness. People who have been familiar with InterVarsity seeing us pop up in somebody's feed, something that somebody shared, a link or a quote or a photo from the conference. Those are big wins. Both Twitter and Facebook had about 3.5 million potential impressions amongst individual users. And so that's pretty exciting to us as an organization. To me, as you know, I've been building this slowly, and this was sort of our big event that happens every 3 years. And I feel like, yeah, you know, that kind of worked. And going forward, I'm thinking about, you know, continuing with some of the same momentum, remaining in that pastoral voice, helping people process what experiences they had at the conference. We had a call to commitment that went really well, and I like to think that our social squad had something to do with that in terms of people hearing the content more deeply. It was a major credit, of course, to our program team and the speakers themselves, but I think that we helped people connect in with it. And, you know, one night we said, guys, this is when you need to see what Jesus has for you. You need to commit to something tonight. Get off your phone. And as the social squad, to have people who are really engaged for 3.5 days and then to be told that, I think was a powerful push for some people to disengage from social media, which we normally don't encourage as the social squad, but to have them really focus in on the program, like to tell them that through their phone real time when they're in the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis, get off your phone, listen to what's being said right in front of you, zero in. And I think that the Lord honored that. We had 2,600 commitments to long-term missions at Urbana 2009, and at Urbana 12, it was up a lot to 4,200 out of our, you know, total of 16,000 people on site. So to see that kind of jump, yeah, I think going forward, we're eager to remain in that sort of pastoral voice that encourages people. You know what? Like, God did something during these 5 days in St. Louis, but it's not really about the 5 days. It's about the next 5 decades and the commitments that you made, the choices that you're going to make as a result of those commitments throughout the next decades. That's what really matters, and that's what's exciting to me in terms of social media, is being able to really encourage people as they go about their, you know, their living out of commitments, their living out of faith, to be encouraging them and helping them to do that better through providing resources, reminding them of commitments, sort of being in that pastoral mode for people, even though it's mediated through a screen. It doesn't substitute for involvement in the local church, face-to-face relationships, but I really think that it's a great augment. I like to say that we overlaid the conference with Twitter, and the Twitter keeps going longer than the conference, you know, face-to-face event does. And so I hope that deepens what happened at Urbana. And as an organization, we just want to keep building up deeper disciples who follow Jesus more closely and who love the people around them better, who love God more, and who live out their faith in helpful, constructive ways in all spheres of society here in the U.S. And as people graduate, a lot of them are going to do stuff overseas, whether it's working in missions or if it's going into business, if it's teaching, you know, going into academics. A lot of them won't be in the U.S. And or they'll be serving cross-culturally in the U.S., or they'll be leading in their church in the U.S. There's all kinds of great ways that people go out from Urbana, and I'm excited that our social squads efforts started some of that journey in some small way and helps people to carry on with it throughout the years.
Marvelously said. Thank you so much, Adam, Jesse, for joining us here on the Social Media Church. Blessing to you. It was a joy to work with you.
Great. Thanks a lot for all your help, DJ, and thanks for having me on the podcast.
Thank you, Adam, for joining me here on the Social Media Church podcast, and thank you for inviting me to be a part of the Social Media Squad. Be sure to check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net for links to a couple articles that were written up about this social media aspect of Urbana 12 from the Christian Post, as well as the Mission Network News, along with Adam's own reflections with some statistics, as well as my personal reflections. Being part of this social media squad was a really engaging time, not only with the participants and being able to be in conversation with them as they were processing the messages and the experience of being with exhibitors and asking some key questions that really shape the life decisions of these young people who are somewhere along their college life, and a good number of them are probably seniors looking to discern God's will for their life or just for their next step. And Urbana just opens your eyes to the multicultural world, and something they do extremely well is facilitate a multi-ethnic worship experience, so you hear voices from all the different continents and get a view that is global rather than a myopic one that might be America-centric. So that was a wonderful experience to be a part of. Even being part of this social media squad, there was a camaraderie because we were working together on this so intensely for 5 days. Each of us took like 4-hour shifts. I myself managed a live blog, so I was providing a little bit of color commentary and try to capture the flow of the main sessions onto a blog. And one of the things I discovered, along with the GroupMe text app that helped us to have a back channel to stay connected during the conference, was Storify. So Storify was really good at capturing some of the tweets that captured the mood and the photo to just get a snapshot of the experience. Because one of the things about Twitters is tweets stream by rather quickly. The lifespan of a tweet, if you're looking for interaction, happen within an hour or two, and then it's scrolled by. People aren't going to look at older tweets. And then even if you were to go searching for old tweets, you might have a 3-day span to search for keywords or hashtags, and then it's gone. And so Storify allowed me to pick up some tweets and some photos as highlights, and I posted them onto the live blog. So that was a great capture of just some of the things that happened in terms of the power of prayer, a glimpse of life change, and I'll add a link to those Storify stories that I captured to highlight some of the things that were happening in Urbana 12. And this is certainly something that you can do in your church or your ministry context as well, to capture some stories of life change, to capture highlights of your events, and also to engage with your audience, engage with the people as they're going through the event. Now, I'm assuming it's something where they would be able to use their smartphone and to be engaging through social media during the event. And if it's that kind of an event, certainly a worship service could be that. If you have a cell phone friendly and ideally a Wi-Fi enabled worship experience where people can be engaging with the worship service, with the sermons, and kind of have these occasional side conversations. Oh, did you hear that? Or just to capture a quote that they want to remember and share with others. Those are some ways that you can be also pastoring through Twitter and through social media in whatever context you're in as you are being the church where you are at. Now, I certainly would love your feedback about how you have seen great examples of social media being used as part of an event, particularly when it's engaging the participants and not just blasting out announcements and news items and corrections, which I, you certainly could use social media for that. I'd really love it if you would use our feedback mechanisms at socialmediachurch.net and click through on our Twitter button or Facebook or email me at socialmediachurch.net, or even call in with your voicemail comments at 949-354-3216. You can call in with your comments about pastoring through social media. Would certainly love to hear from you and incorporate your voice onto the Social Media Church podcast, because this is a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. And this concludes another episode of the Social Media Church podcast. And until next time, we'll stay connected online.